you're a musician, I have some great news for you. I've been really busy lately and a little bit naughty. I've made a living as an independent professional musician for over 25 years now. And once tech companies started raising millions of venture capital dollars and scraping my music without my consent, then generating shittier music with it that is inadvertently associated with my name, and then attempting to resell that in the same economy in which I make money from my music, I was just like, you know what? This. I still enjoy making music all the time, but I have entirely stopped releasing it. But what I'm showing you today is a type of encoding that not only makes a music file more or less untrainable by generative AI companies, but actually has the ability to decrease the quality and efficiency of their entire data set. I'm going to be showing you a lot of demonstrations of this technology in this video, but it attacks AI in a whole lot of other ways, and some of them are really scary. For example, I could say something completely normal here, or even play you the sound of an eagle, and that sound would be telling Siri or your Echo or Google Home device to unlock your doors.
The adjective vulnerable was usually defined as capable of or susceptible to being wounded or hurt.
Or I could make Spotify think that a bunch of sex noises are an acoustic Christian folk song. And we're going to be exploring all of these things. Unethical generative AI companies have made artists feel incredibly powerless for quite some time now, but all of that is about to change, and I am extremely excited to be able to finally tell you about it in this video. Come on. The modern chapter of the AI music story begins in 2015 with the publication and proposal of UNet, a frankly ingenious method of using a convolutional neural network for advanced pattern recognition in biomedical imagery. In simpler terms, UNet invented a way to recognize things in a much, much more efficient way that didn't even require more than a few images of training data to work. I'd go more into the detail of how it works, but some of my viewers may be driving and I don't want to cause any accidents by making them drowsy. All we need to know for now is that UNet's architecture inspired the technology that is behind virtually all generative AI models today. Then in 2016, Google introduced Magenta, which is a research project that uses machine learning to scan insane amounts of music to learn from it in order to create new tools to create music. There are a lot of neat projects with Magenta that you can play with for free today. You can have a piano play a duet with you, or you can turn your voice into a saxophone sound, or play a harp that morphs between learned sounds, or make a bunch of circles to make a basic melody. It's fun stuff to play with, but a lot of it is also just a really expensive and inefficient way to do what modular synths like that have been doing for decades. There is one thing that you should consider before we move on. Since this era, generative AI music has always been primarily, with very few exceptions, a lot of showmanship for investors and more or less a solution without any sort of problem. For example, another huge AI music technology landmark in 2016 was Sony unveiling a song that was made with artificial intelligence called Daddy's Car. Now, the song sounds pretty fucking mid, so imagine my complete and utter surprise to find out that it was performed, recorded, and mastered by humans. And the lyrics, on the other hand, sound like some stereotypically bad early AI-generated shit, but it turns out that that was written by a human too. Now, you may be asking yourself how exactly this qualifies as artificial intelligence, but as the lyrics of the song famously say, "From Taxman until tomorrow, never know." It wouldn't be long before the goal of these tools was to actually generate AI music, with OpenAI releasing MuseNet and ByteDance acquiring JukeDeck in 2019, then Meta and Stability followed suit, and it wasn't long before we had a bunch of voice cloning services and consumer-targeted subscription services that offered AI-generated music, like Suno and Udio. Here's a fun social experiment I would like you to participate in. The next time a company announces a generative AI feature or product or service that is for sale or for subscription, ask them the magic 10 words. What data did you use to train your base model? More often than not, those 10 words magically work as a mute button for tech assholes, because they either don't know the answer to the question, or answering the question will make them liable for literally billions of dollars in IP infringement damages. That's because they just recklessly scraped Spotify and YouTube and Audible and virtually anywhere that they could find data, whether it was copyrighted or not. And remember how the Recording Industry of America would sue soccer moms because their kids downloaded a few albums? It's just like that. times a few hundred million, and also while raising a few hundred million in venture capital. And then naturally, like a swarm of locusts, tons of opportunists started using music generating services to generate millions of songs to put on streaming services like Spotify, which then siphoned royalties away from actual musicians. And as if all of this wasn't enough of a slap in the face to musicians, services like Suno literally set up funds to pay their top AI music creators without ever even considering paying the actual musicians that made the fucking music their entire service is trained on. Starting in 2023, I had met with various US senators and their staffers about changing legislation to require generative AI companies above a certain size to start keeping a record of their training data and requiring consent from intellectual property holders before using it for their products and services. A lot of artist advocacy groups and unions are also doing this, and quite a few early bills were penned. But when the presidential inauguration was crammed full of tech titans who are spending billions on generative AI, I kind of realize that we're going to have to take this into our own hands. This is a little bit of personal history, but it's very relevant to this video, so stick with me. In early 2023, I joined DJ Fresh and Nico Polarin in co-founding VoiceSwap AI, and we expanded the team by proposing a royalty mechanism for vocalists participating in generative AI that not only paid them ongoing licensing fees, but made them part of an equity pool in the company. What we found is that by training an entirely new vocal base model on consensual data and fine-tuning it in collaboration with the artists, the resulting voice model sounded superior to our competitors. As a result of this, we quickly grew to 150,000 users without so much as a penny in third-party or venture capital investment. We became busy with large business clients and have remained the only AI company that qualifies for BMAT certification and can pay royalties on this new type of intellectual property. And much more importantly, the majority of our vocalists were earning more annually through their voice model than the entirety of what they were earning on Spotify and other streaming services. Come on, not bad, right? Last year, one of the projects that I put a lot of time and research into was finding a foolproof way to take an original music master file and detect if the music in that file was generated with AI or not. If you come up with a solid idea, or maybe a new or original process to accomplish a task, and you release it to the public for free, it's only a matter of time before big companies will say, "I made this," and then gatekeep it behind a paywall. Fortunately, somebody tipped me off that this was happening, and I was able to apply for a patent myself to prevent it from happening in the future, but I learned this expensive lesson a few months ago. The problem with my little AI music detector is not in its functionality, but in the lack of incentive to use it. The people who are generating the AI music to put it on the streaming services and make money have to pay middlemen distributors to publish it and manage their royalties, and while for some reason I thought that these services would jump at the chance to refuse money and not accept AI music, they didn't seem interested in this proposal. Surprising, I know. But meanwhile, I had been researching a type of technology that actually isn't all that new. Adversarial noise. This term first sprouted up a decade ago when virtually every piece of technology included a little AI assistant that you could talk to. The InfoSec industry has been aware of this for a while now, as the information that a neural network gathers from a sound is very different than what a human brain gathers. This means that just about anything that you can accomplish via a voice command, like ordering something on Amazon or opening your garage door, can presumably be triggered by a sound that human beings cannot identify, and this is accomplished by using adversarial noise. Let me demonstrate. Here's an attack on an Amazon Echo Show, which, by the way, is like the worst tech device that I've ever used in my life. Let's just play some soft classical music in the background and whoopsie.
Ben Lee Jordan, born October 28, 1979. Is an American musician operating under many pseudonyms.
Here's my attack on the AI model that's been used for speech recognition by Meta, Facebook, Instagram, Oculus, and then a whole lot of others as well. If we run it directly, we can see exactly what the AI thinks that it's hearing. Let's move over to the white hat side of this attack. Giant generative AI firms have been scraping copyrighted audiobooks to train their voice models, but also learning from the content within the audiobook itself. So let's encode that audio file to make the AI hear nonsense. And since it's using a self-supervised neural network like Hubert, it'll reinforce a false positive, meaning that the entire model will be shittier after it's done training on my adversarial noise here.
My alarm clock woke me that day, as always, at 6:13. I went to the kitchen, made coffee and toast. My alarm clock woke me that day, as always, at 6:13. I went to the kitchen, made coffee and toast.
My friends at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville have made an art out of these types of attacks. This one, for example, utilizes a small physical speaker to introduce an inaudible layer to your own speech and commands in real time by mimicking small environmental sounds and real-world distortions. So even if you have high security settings where your AI assistant can only respond to your voice for high security commands like disabling your alarm system, that also can be manipulated. Speaking of University of Tennessee, I took a trip up to steamy old Knoxville to visit Syed Irfan Ali Mirza and Jian Liu to learn more about Harmony Cloak, one of the research team's more recent projects that encodes a music file with adversarial noise that utterly breaks AI's ability to find melody or rhythm. Here's some of their own demos with some pretty simple, basic music. And here is what the AI models generate based on the unencoded music files. Now here's what they create from the files encoded with Harmony Cloak. Anyone familiar with AI training will recognize this, by the way. It's TensorBoard, and it functions as a convenient visual guide to know when training is no longer improving your model. That way you know when to stop the process as to not waste time and energy. The red line is from training on normal audio files, and the blue is files encoded with Harmony Cloak. You'll notice that almost immediately, the model stops being able to improve itself.
Have you tested the original versus perturbed music again? Like, have you tested it with other students? Have people claimed to be able to hear the difference?
We have a user study. In the paper, we involved over 30 participants, and most of them are music lovers. We asked them to give a rating. I think the rating we got from for the unlearnable examples are pretty similar to the clean music.
The model has been rigorously tested, and Jian, Syed, and their team have been actively working to make it more efficient. It was then and there, in Knoxville, when I suddenly had the urge to release music again as a test subject for widespread development, but I had a lot more work to do and a whole lot of training and testing. Okay, so remember UNet from earlier in this video? UNet pioneered something called diffusion. Instead of trying to generate an image or sound by drawing it, they start with noise and then shape it based on what it learned from training. Now, music generating algorithms seem like a pretty big technological leap from image generating algorithms, but when you introduce a music file to a modern neural network to learn from and train on, it's merely looking for the spectrogram of the image, which can then be interpreted as audio. If you go back some years on this channel, you could see some fun videos of me playing creatively with software that does this. So in that spectral image, the AI looks for two classes of characteristics. The first is the tones, the rhythm, the melody, as seen here. And more importantly, why this chord often seems to come after this chord in a particular style of music, or how or why a swing beat works in a particular situation. The second is the sounds themselves, something that Google's Magenta had pioneered very early on. This is why AI stem separation became one of the first features sites and software offered. Using these types of algorithms, the AI can detect what part of the spectral image has drum sounds in it, or bass, or guitar. Anyway, that second class of functionality is what I spent an absurd amount of time trying to break. Now remember what I showed you with adversarial noise inserting inaudible commands to say something different to a speech recognition engine? Well, it turns out that I could do these targeted attacks on instruments too. One of the most advanced and accurate instrument classifiers is an API offered by IRCAM. So what does this sound like to you? If you guessed cymbal, good job. However, after encoding it with adversarial noise, instrument classifiers think it's a harmonica, or that this song has string instruments in it. This also could potentially have a snowball effect by making a generative AI model be continuously fooled by false positives, so it'll be more likely to think that every similar synthesizer sound it encounters is also a string quartet. And for this reason, I've been calling my attack Poisonify. Harmony Cloak combined with Poisonify makes music not only untrainable, but it threatens to degrade the quality of the entire model. Suno is a generative AI company that started out in late 2023 with text-to-speech and generative music models that have now raised hundreds of millions of venture capital dollars. They are now in a legal battle with the Recording Industry of America for damages amounting to something like $1.5 trillion for training their models on copyrighted data without asking anyone for permission. Now, Michael Shulman, Suno's CEO, has some really enlightening takes.
It's not really enjoyable to make music now. I think the majority of people don't enjoy the majority of the time time they spend making music.
And by enlightening, I meant that there simply has to be something enlightening about being so astray from reality that you would think that musicians don't enjoy making music. And within the delusional reality that Michael lives in, this is the problem that he's providing a solution to. And to be fair, this mindset opens up a lot of really lucrative and creative business opportunities. Maybe he could expand Suno to make autonomous machines that will roll bowling balls down a lane, so you could just pay him a subscription fee instead of bowling with your friends. Aside from the mental gymnastics Olympics that the company was founded on, Suno has a really useful feature where you can upload a song and then the service will automatically extend it. It doesn't seem to listen to prompts very well and it doesn't sound very good, but it does provide a great test bed for my little project here. So here we go. We can upload my original song here. And now here is Suno's AI extension of that song. Fragments of light lost in data sweep. Speech. Shadow memory in the glowing rain. Okay, now let's upload my Poisonify encoded track. And here is Suno's AI-generated extension. I would describe this as music from an airport spa that somebody downloaded off of Napster in 1999.
There's an even more recent and competitive generative AI music outfit from China that I only know about initially just because they blew me up so much in my email trying to get me to promote them on this channel. Ask and you shall receive, I guess. It's called Minimax Audio, and a lot of creators seem to be raving about it, but I'm assuming that they're raving about it because they're being paid to rave about it. It doesn't really blow my mind or anything. Anyway, if you tap directly into the API, it has a feature that allows you to extend a song the same way that we did in the Suno test. And so technically how this works is they scan the song that you uploaded and then fine-tune the model to generate more of what it had heard. And now let's feed it the song that's been encoded with Harmony Cloak and Poisonify. Ultimately, we have this nightmare fuel.
Generation love, hunting for information, blondie outside of sporadic lovely career.
Another popular model that has this extend feature is Meta's Music Gen, and I had tried that out early on, but I might as well show you what that does as well. Here is audio fine-tuned on the original unencoded song. And then just like Minimax, when we upload the version that's been encoded by Harmony Cloak and Poisonify, it hangs and crashes, and eventually I got this. Pretty good.
So as I'm editing this video, YouTube just announced that they will be launching a new feature for YouTube creators where you can generate your own AI music. So there's some very conflicting interests on the same website. God damn. There are some challenges, though. First of all, instrument classification is not only exclusively used by generative AI, it's also used by Spotify to sort out the recommendation algorithm. Now my most abrasive music may be recommended to people who exclusively listen to barbershop quartets, which I personally think is awesome, but I could see how some musicians might not want that. The other challenge is efficiency. Harmony Cloak requires a bunch of high-end specialized GPUs currently. However, the team is working on a much more efficient model that they are testing as I record this. And then here locally, when working on Poisonify, I've been using two RTX 5080 video cards, which takes about 2 hours per 15,000 iterations on an 18-second file for the adversarial noise to be unnoticeable to the human ear. That means that just my upcoming album is taking around 2 weeks of non-stop GPU grinding, which is coming in at around 242 kilowatts, which in my case can be mostly offset by the hot Georgia sun, but it would cost most people in the US between $40 and $150 worth of electricity depending on their location and if they staggered training sessions into off-peak hours. So while this all works really well, the goal is to make this much more efficient and scale it to where it can be offered as an API that's hosted and processed from Topset Labs, which by the way is what VoiceSwap will be called in the future due to the diversification of our offerings. But that way, a willing distributor can offer the option to AI-proof or poisonify your music when you upload it to streaming services. I've made a few videos covering this, but music distribution is not exactly great these days. In early 2024, TuneCore had falsely accused me of fake streaming on Spotify, removing my entire catalog from every store and streaming service without even notifying me. Fortunately, this resulted in a lot of bad press that ended up being noticed by their parent company, and after a lot of dick swinging, they restored most of it, but royally screwed up the metadata. So in the last year, while my monthly listeners have continued to grow on other platforms, TuneCore's mistake resulted in me losing close to 100,000 listeners per month from my primary library. Since that happened, I've been negotiating my catalog with a lot of different companies, and I came really close to just selling the entire thing, but I'm glad that I didn't because I managed to find a diamond in the rough in one of the potential buyers. I started meeting with and pitching my AI music detection to Jorge Bria, the CEO of Symphonic Distribution. He seemed open-minded enough to hear my plan with Poisonify and Harmony Cloak and has the resources to potentially incorporate an API as an optional service for other musicians in the future should we be able to combine them into an efficient process.
So when you're uploading your album and you're uploading your release cover, then you tell us like how much AI was used to create this album cover. Was all of it done using AI? Was some of it done using AI? Or was none of it using AI? And the same thing at the track level, mostly for us to be able to just have awareness of it. We're doing that because we're trying to show responsible thought processes around AI. And a lot of the DSPs haven't yet came out with legitimate guidance on what they will do in terms of this content. So this is kind of our way of starting to inventory and being able to just get a sense of how much of this is actually happening within the ecosystem.
So now I'm doing something that I thought that I may never do again: finishing and mastering a new album. My entire discography will also be randomly encoded with one of these poison pill methods, or a combination of them, or a variation of them. I've also encoded some of them with inaudible, random, adversarial noise that does absolutely nothing at all. And the reason I'm not going to tell anybody which tracks are encoded with what is to obfuscate how this works technically so it can't be avoided down the line as AI music companies train new models. We've covered a whole lot here, but another thing that I'll cover more extensively in a future video as I test more devices is broad protection from AI listening devices through targeted pressure waves. If you haven't noticed, everywhere we go, there's a combination of both smart and dumb microphone-equipped devices listening to us. Let's say that you came to see me perform live at a small, intimate concert that I was performing in. I want to play a song for you that I haven't really finished yet, but I just kind of want to bounce it off the audience. Actually, I don't want your Instagram followers to see it, so you'll just have to excuse me. I can also make it device specific by playing very specific audio files from my phone. Alexa, what is 2 plus 2?
2 plus 2 is 4.
Alexa. 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 Alexa, Alexa, Alexa! I'll definitely be exploring this stuff a lot more in the future, but for now, I'm just really happy that artists may soon have a way to push back using technology without having to depend on copyright or IP laws, because those things have utterly failed us in recent years in regards to AI. And even expanding on that, I'm glad to be involved in technology that will someday give you the option to physically protect your music or even personal conversations from being recorded or logged. The entire generative AI industry has a much larger existential problem than artists or creators using the same class of technology to defend themselves. They have to worry about the Pareto principle, otherwise known as the 80-20 rule. It's not meant to be precise, it's more of an estimate, but for example, many people spend 80% of their time only wearing 20% of the clothing that they own. Many businesses get about 80% of their sales from only 20% of their products. A lot of software developers notice that 80% of their bugs are caused by 20% of the code. In a lot of healthcare systems, about 80% of resources are used by only 20% of patients. I could keep going with this. Considering how ubiquitous and omnipresent the Pareto principle is in computer science and data science, think about this. Have you noticed that AI image generators got really good really fast, but are still nowhere near perfect? In the last 2 years, it would be hard for the average person to point out a difference at all in AI image generators. Even with the insane amount of hype and investment that's going into it, they still can't seem to figure out things like text and hands without using special tricks or extensions. And music isn't that much different. When you see Suno or Udio releasing these new versions with new features, most of the new features are not in the generative quality themselves. themselves, but in features like in-painting. And when there is an improvement in the sound quality, many times the customer finds themselves trading customization for quality. For example, the music may sound more realistic or clear, but now it's ignoring most of the text in your prompt. I suspect that the reason for this is because these AI models quickly improved 80% with only 20% of the time, investment, and work with training them. And now just getting a 5% improvement on those models is an expensive, complicated, and unprofitable grind. That's why it's possible for a company like Topset Labs or VoiceSwap to be successful without any sort of runway investment. Concentrating on the input data and working with vocalists and cutting them in financially is way less expensive and much easier than the trial and error of retraining bass models over and over again for voices. And having artists involved creatively in that process is also way more efficient than fine-tuning a vocal model for another 100,000 iterations. The biggest downside to this business model is that paying people doesn't seem as sexy to investors, which is something that should be sat on and digested for a while. But you have to cut them in on the profit and pay them royalties long-term for the stretch in order for this to work. Major record labels figured this out about 100 years ago, and we all know that there's no shortage of greed in that industry. Perhaps a solid way of thinking about any generative AI industry in relation to art or any other creative industry is like a race car. You could design the ultimate car and raise incredible amounts of money to engineer that car and then make it. And it could be the fastest and sexiest and most efficient car around, but it will be a tremendous failure and waste of money if you only put a tiny little bit of fuel in it and prevent it from getting to its destination or finish line. I'm not an AI hater, not by a long shot. You could go back into the early days of this channel or even earlier with my music and see that I have been fascinated with generative AI for a very long time, before it became integrated with neural networks. But the business side of me firmly believes that developing a useful tool will pay out much higher than developing an investment scheme. This video is sponsored by some of you, my viewers. In fact, a ton of research in this video has been paid for by my viewers through Patreon. So thank you for being part of that. And if you want to join a large, healthy, inspiring Discord community and have access to my music and field recordings and audio production assets, you can join for as little as $1. Thanks for watching. Keep creating. Bye.